dominant.
I call this regular board meeting of the Board of Trustees. The time is 6:08. The date is November 19th, 2013. Carlos, can you please call roll?
Mr. Coronado? Here. Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
And on the next item for the Pledge of Allegiance and the Texas Pledge of Allegiance, can we have Annie Rose Thomas join us up here to lead us into both of them?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. And Ms. Quintana, if you could lead us into the CISD mission statement and vision statement.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my
goodness. Pedophile ISD mission and vision statements. Provide high-quality education opportunities that will inspire all students to acquire and use the knowledge and skills needed to become leaders and productive citizens in a culturally diverse and technologically sophisticated world. To become a premier school district with nationally ranked biliterate graduates that will be able to create, collaborate, communicate, critically think, and apply the knowledge and skills to be successful in post-secondary and the workforce, and more importantly, in life.
Thank you. And Ms. Gonzalez, if you could just lead us into the Canotillo core beliefs.
Canotillo core beliefs, culture of excellence, student-centered, high expectations, accountability, and transparency.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That will take us to the next item.
Item 2, special presentation, Dr. Galaviz.
Today, again, in looking at the core beliefs and being student-centered, I have the privilege of Miss Annie Rose Thomas. Can you come forward, please? We get to hear your beautiful voice and your essay. And you are representing Damian Elementary.
Damian Durr. How is it, Damian Durr?
Why do you want to serve on student council? I would like to be selected for student council to make a difference at Jose Damian Elementary. I will do this by setting a good example, respecting all teachers and students, and encouraging others to show their citizenship. I will do my best to take care of my responsibilities as a student council member. As a student council member, I want to become involved in all school activities and student life, to grow not only for myself, but to help others grow also. What leadership skills do you have? A good leader to me is one that is honest, hardworking, and responsible. I show good leadership skills by caring about others, always helping them do their best, and being a good role model. Being a good role model means setting good examples, like when my teacher uses my class for help. I will work hard to succeed in community projects by encouraging and motivating all firemen to do their best in the field. I am proud to be able to sit on my firemen. JDE firemen is better than themselves.
Thank you. That will take us to the next
item. Item 3, board honors. Mr. Rebellas.
President Rodriguez, members of the board, Dr. Galaviz. It's Thanksgiving season, and we're all looking forward to sharing memories with our families, friends, and loved ones. It's also time to reflect, however, and in Canutillo ISD, we have plenty to be thankful for. We have a story past that, like the pilgrims, tells the story of perseverance and survival against all odds. As we gather today to celebrate the successes of our students and teachers, let's be mindful of the men and women who, over the past 50 plus years, came before us to form the Canutillo ISD we are today and the Canutillo ISD we hope to become. For President Rodriguez, members of the board, Dr. Galaviz, could you please join me on the steps to begin this month's board recognition? Is the nest of champions, and few championships taste as good as those who have eluded us for a while. That was the case of the Canutillo High School varsity volleyball team. Coach Beltran and the Lady Eagles have always been a force to be reckoned with in District 24A, but that extra step in the playoffs was always a goal. This year, the Lady Eagles came through in true champion style and managed to win the bi-district match at an away game. In other words, Canutillo won their first bi-district championship in a long while. Could Coach Andre Beltran and the members of the 2013 CHS Varsity Volleyball Bi-District Championship team come up and be recognized by the board? Had an unprecedented year so far, one would not be exaggerated. Take a look at these results. In the Socorro ISD Marchfest, the band received the highest rating given out by the judges. Then in the Isleta ISD Sun City Throwdown, the CHS Eagle Pride Band came in third overall behind some big powerhouses in the region and earned the honors of best snare drums and best frontline. But the biggest accolade was the Division I rating the band received during the University Interscholastic League competition that enabled band director Regino Ramos and his musicians to participate in the area band tournament for only the third time in school history. Nice. I think it's safe to say that the CHS Marching Eagle Pride Band had a successful 2013 marching season, don't you? Could Mr. Ramos, Mr. Adame, and any member of the CHS band please come up to be recognized?
I just wanted to thank the board and the superintendent and then the school district for your undying support of our program. This would not have been possible without what you have done for us and for these students. To say that something like this changes students' lives and to play it down and has really impacted their lives. And I want to thank you for it. For the past 14 months, the band has garnered more awards than it did in the past 41 years. And that's because of what you have done. And these students have demonstrated what it means to be an Eagle. Thank you very much.
Showing the region that Canutillo is developing a strong volleyball tradition. Well, this year, now as 8th graders, they did it again. The team, under the direction of Coach Nicole Chaitis, won the Little 12 Conference Championship. Coach Beltran, looks like Canutillo High School has more quality players coming up the ranks, and I'm sure you're going to be happy about that. Could Coach Chaitis and the members of the Canutillo Middle School 8th grade volleyball team please come up and be recognized? Thank you.
congratulating our team. I just want to make one note. I want you to pay attention to these young ladies, because these young ladies as a team, both in 7th grade and 8th grade, did not know what it was to lose. They were undefeated both seasons in every game that they played, whether it was a tournament, a district game, a practice game, they were undefeated. So this makes me...
Just real quick, if it's okay with the board that I move up the interlocal agreement with El Paso County Sheriffs after the external audit report. Is that okay with the board? Yeah? Okay. You can move. And then also,
where did new business?
It's Dr. PDG's birthday today, so I was going to see if we could sing happy birthday, but said he'll step out for a bit? Or?
Yeah.
Should we wait?
Yeah, let's wait.
So we could embarrass him? Wait a bit.
I'd like the Hector, the internal auditor, to lead it, please.
Happy birthday, sir.
And he serenaded me this morning. Hector, can you come up here, please? You're going to go over your audit plan?
I didn't realize he was so talented.
TEA, caption 5.2.
What's the question?
Your internal audit. TEA, cap. Your corrective action plan.
And like a summary of the TEA.
Yeah, yeah, like the summary of you just sing me happy birthday.
Ready? Let's go.
Here we go. Let's start.
Ready? Go ahead.
One. Two,
three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Pachelovis.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Can you do it?
Every time, Rachel, when we're alone.
We will.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shortest audit report ever.
That would take us to the agenda item. Go ahead. So you could read it into it.
Open forum.
Is there anybody signed up for open forum? No? That would take us to next item.
Item 5. This is San Diego. Audit report.
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, board members, and Dr. Galvez. Good evening. I'm absolutely stunned that everyone left before this audit update. But it was really nonetheless. We are handing out just an audit update for you. Many of you may have already seen this, but we are in the wrap-up stages of the external audit and have completed field work. The audit, at least in our office, is now in a second review, and we expect that the draft will be to your finance office this Friday. With questions from them soon thereafter, and it should come to you. Our goal is by next Wednesday, once it has been reviewed by your finance and we've met with them as well to go over any questions that might exist. And then in talking with the internal auditor, that it is thought that you all would probably approve that at your next board meeting, which would be December 17th, so that you have at least a week. You should have received it a couple weeks ahead of time then to ask us any questions that you all might have.
Is there any questions?
Any questions for me today?
No.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Y'all have done a really incredible job. I read your updates, and I'm very impressed.
Thank you. No, it's been a pleasure. We get everything timely while we're out here. It was a good month. We were here about the whole month of October.
It's been really nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No questions then? That'll take us to the next item.
Item 6.
Y'all going to join us for the full meeting audit? I'm not just joking.
Required.
Go ahead.
Item 6. Reorganization of the board.
We, 9C.
Discussion and possible action regarding interlocal agreement with the El Paso County Sheriff's Department for school resources officers, Mr. Blanco, Mr. Gonzalez,
Mr. Ordonez, and Mr.
The only concern that we had in connection with this proposed interlocal agreement is that it doesn't contain price points. As you know, whenever you have a contractual agreement, one of the key elements is consideration. And at this point, since we do not have that negotiated as of this date, we cannot recommend that you approve the agreement as is. To have an actual agreement, you have to have an offer, you have to have acceptance, and you have to have consideration. The key element of consideration is simply isn't there. You have the option, of course, of preliminarily approving this if you're in favor of the terms and conditions, subject to being apprised and approving the issues related to cost.
Okay. Did you all want to speak in behalf of that? And
good evening, board, Dr. Galavis and board members. My name is Daniel Rawlings. I'm here from the Sheriff's Office. I'm the grant writer from the Sheriff's Department. What we can do is we can go ahead and present to you what we did through the committee. Your legal representation will let us go through that. And then we can talk to you about the terms and the price of what it is. It's a federal contract. It's a federal grant. It has to be approved before the end of the year. And so we brought it to you all for approval as to move forward. I mean, we either have to accept it or not accept it before the end of December. We've reached out to all the school districts that are in the county, and you're, of course, one of the ones that we wanted to partner with for this. So I'll go ahead and present it, and then we can outline the terms and the financial part of it. They aren't on the interlocal, which is what your legal representation is talking about. The final interlocal will be given to you from the county attorney's office, and that will have the prices. But, and the price you'll see tonight, the cost involved, you'll see tonight as well.
Can, real quick, just can we then approve it with the stipulation of having administration and the president make sure they're okay with that? Or how would we go about it?
Well, that would, the only difficulty that would present is that, that the board as a whole is voting and agreeing upon whatever the cost is. I suppose you can consider delegating that, but it would depend on the amount in terms of what can be delegated for approval in the future. I think that the safest route would be to listen to the presentation, which I'm sure will be very informative. It'll provide you cost information, and maybe you could bring it up at the next meeting for approval once you have all the information, if you choose to approve it.
But dealing that there with, you're dealing with grants, right, to actually approve it so that way they can know to go forward with it coming back to the board to be approved.
Once all the school districts are on board, Mr. President, all the five school districts are on board, we have to take it to the county commissioners to accept the actual grant, the $1.5 million grant. They have to accept it from the federal government before we can move forward. But we're coming to the school districts to present what we're doing, to discuss your portion of the match, which is a 33% match, and we have the exact dollar amount and what it is. You can approve that, the exact year and everything, you can approve that. What the exact cost is, which is not in a final draft. The final draft you can approve in December if that's what you'd like, but the dollar amount is not set.
What you can do is accept it subject to council approval if you are in favor of the price point that's being offered.
Okay.
Because at that point you have full information in terms of what it's going to cost, and it's just a question of making sure that your voters review the agreement. So it could be subject to council. To council review if you're in agreement with the price that's presented to you.
Okay. Were you going to present the presentation first?
Yeah, we do. It's just a short slide. It's about 5 slides, what the cost is and what the program's about. We've already done it to the committee. We met with the Employee Facilities Committee last week and presented it to them. I believe they passed that. Now we're just bringing it to the full board to make sure they're on board. And you're actually the last school district that we have.
No problem. If you all want to, the board okay with seeing the slide first, and then we could save any questions. Yeah.
What this grant is a grant application from the Department of Justice for the COPS program, which the COPS program is the community-oriented policing program. Different school districts around the country, different law enforcement around the country applied for this grant, and we were the second largest recipient in the entire country. The only larger recipient was Houston, and they received 14 officers, which was about a $2 million project. We received 10, the second highest recipient, and it was a $1.25 million project. What this does is we applied to fund new officers to put into the community. In light of what's happened in so many schools and so many school districts, particularly Newtown and numerous other examples, the focus of the Department of Justice was to make school resource officers. The slide goes into defining what a school resource officer is, in our case a deputy. They'll utilize community-oriented policing philosophies, engage in student training programs, such things as DARE and things that have been proven time and time again. Develop new warning systems, particularly potential problematic schools or feeder schools. In your case, you guys are looking at placing the two deputies in your middle schools and helping the theater pattern that it works with. And that would be particularly like active shooters or helping out and doing DARE programs and things like that. Also, one of the big focuses the sheriff has been a big proponent of and what we're really pushing is anti-bullying initiative. And you guys have a great one and we want to continue that and help partner with that anti-bullying initiative. Of course, some of the other things like gangs and drugs and fights and vandalism. The other two partners, in addition to the school district that we'll be working with very closely, is the county attorney's office, since they're the ones that have jurisdiction over juveniles. And whenever they place a juvenile that is considered delinquent back into the schools, they've done whatever they've had to do, and they get placed back in the schools, you're going to be made aware of who that juvenile delinquent is. And I think that's a real important partnership. Since they're a county agency, we're a county agency, so we're going to work very closely when that juvenile comes back into the school system. And then the other entity would be the juvenile probation department. So if there's a juvenile that's been taken out of school, that's been away in juvenile probation for an extended amount of time, comes back, we're going to be working very closely when that juvenile gets placed back into the school system. One of the last things that we're going to work closely with is mentoring. The chief talked about it a lot when he made the presentation last weekend. And something that's been a real focus is this employee or this officer will be with your school district the entire year. The 180 days, they'll be in your schools. They're going to be school resource officers. But when school's out, and they're going to be, we want them to keep them in your district as community resource officers, particularly for summer school initiatives, programs going on, booster things. We want to keep them in and around your schools the entire year. So they're not going to just do half a year with you. They're going to be with you all the whole year. Part of what this breaks down to, and I had a whole list of questions that I'll address that you brought up, was what the cost of this is. And once the federal government's match, the federal government's portion and your match is put in place, your cost of having this officer is going to be $11. So basically, you'll have an officer for 3 years, and each of your schools at $11 a piece. The federal government's picking up the rest of that. So it's a heck of a deal to have an actual peace officer in your schools. I know one of the questions, and I'll address all of them, but what will be particularly about the schedule they'll have, and that schedule will be based on what your needs are, so they don't have to be on 8-to-5 schedules. Officers are already working swing shifts constantly anyways, and so if you need the officer to be at a band booster meeting after school, then you can change that officer's schedule and they could come in at 10 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock, and so they can stay after school. With the same thing for other type of meetings or events that are going on your campuses. The last thing, that's the one that's most important to you, is the cost. And this is what we presented last week as well. This grant funds 66% of the cost you all would be paying the other 33%, which is the match. That's for the 3 years. What we'll be paying for is all of their equipment, the cost of the car, and the unit that they'll have in your schools, as well as the mileage and everything else from to and from home. We pay that already for officers, and we, as the county, will continue to pay that for the officer that's placed in the schools. It's broken down on the last part of the interlocal for spring of 14, which is January 1st through June 30th. The cost would be $23,500 to the district. The federal government would be picking up the $41,667. The next two school years, which are your calendar school years, FY14 and 15, FY15 and 16, your cost will be, for both officers, $47,000 each of those school years. And the last portion of that grant, which is a 36-month grant, will be the fall of 2016, and again, it will be $23,500 for two officers in your schools. That kind of sums up the slide presentation that the chief would have made. Unfortunately, tonight there was a call out. We had a SWAT incident. Someone barricaded himself in Socorro, so it's the right reason he's not here with me tonight. But so I'm here to stand to answer any questions. I know there were a couple that were emailed that I wanted to particularly address. One of them talks about some of the trainings that the officer would be required to do. These officers are all union officers, so they're required both by their union and their T-Post license to be peace officers to do certain trainings, and they have to be pulled out to do those trainings. It's a handful of them, it's about five, and they're about half-day trainings. We're going to make every attempt we can, which is talked about in interlocal, to make sure we provide coverage, but it's the attempt we can based on what manpower and people we have. But it's required training they have to attend, because like a teacher has training in service, these officers have it too in order to keep their licenses. One of the other questions that talks about if there's a major incident and they have to respond to something, it has to be a major incident. We're not pulling those officers out. And let's say it's storm February 2006 and the entire area freezes and we need law enforcement officers. That may be an exception when that officer would be a law enforcement officer. But they're not going to be called out because it's a traffic accident down on Donovan and someone needs to respond. There's patrol officers that will do that, and those officers will not be called out for that. It has to be a major, true emergency for them to actually have to leave and take care of that. And just the reverse would happen. If there was an emergency in your school, you would have that officer in the school, and all the other officers would come in as well. So, just depending on what kind of emergencies happen. I know one of the other questions you had was in regards to compensation. And them working a day, they're union officers, and so they get a paid lunch. It's just part of the contract, and they're in a union contract with CLEAT, and that's just the way it is. And unfortunately, that's what it is. They get a 30-minute paid lunch. But they get a paid lunch because they're always on call. So if something major happens, they're going to drop their suit, and they're going to go and respond to some scene or something happening in schools. So they are entitled to their paid lunch. And then the last question was in regards to space or computer. There is a clause or part of the interlocal that does require that. It's not an office per se, so they don't have to build an office. That's not what we're looking at, but it's space, basically for having them somewhere to exist. And I know we've talked to Dr. Alamiz. He's assured us that that kind of thing can be maybe accommodated, and a computer, because they have to be able to log on and find out what's going on, both with their emails and also with you all too, so you can send them emails in case there's something. So those were the questions that they had in regards to particularly the MOU. And the last question was, are you committed to the 3 years? Yes, it's a 3-year grant. We brought you on board, that's why we're coming to you all. You're committed to the 3 years. That's the whole point of the presentation of the 36 months. It is a 3-year grant. If the district goes completely belly up and you can't pay any bills, then obviously, that's something else. That's a major thing. But it is a 3-year grant, and it is a 3-year process, and it's outlined in there, and that's part of the interlocal. After the 3 years was the other question, what happens then? This is a grant. This is a COPS grant. We're going to reapply and try to continue to keep it in our community. Obviously, they feel it's really important because they funded us so well, so I suspect they will continue to. But there's no guarantee, because like all grants, they come to an end. So after those 3 years, have to relook at things. So those are the questions I presented ahead of time. Is there any other questions?
At this point, Ms. Quintana?
Yes. overtime. Yeah. Who takes care of who will be paying the overtime?
That's two parts, and I know that we talked about that. If you're just changing their schedule, you have that leeway to change their schedule. So if, let's say you meet them in a football game and you flex that schedule so they can attend the middle school football game that Saturday, you can do that. But if they're already working a 40-hour week and you still want them to attend the football game or go to the booster meeting, then just like any other time, an officer has to do overtime or work outside. They're in the movie theaters and they're standing there too. There's a separate contract for them to do overtime or sign. And that's a separate, whole other contract.
And what rate would that be?
And that's a union rate, so it varies every year. So the county approves a contract with the union, and every year that rate is a set fixed rate based on the union.
So basically, it wouldn't be efficient to keep them on for games or anything like that.
Right? If you vary their schedule, it would work fine. If you told them today your schedule
but we need
is
them
coming
during
at
the
noon,
day, so.
Leave at 8, but if you want them after that, above and beyond the 40 hours, that's a negotiated rate for overtime.
And I also know that officers work jobs outside, you know, security in different places. My son is an officer. And sometimes they who work, like say at the casino, you know, and they get off at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I hope, is there a stipulation where they have to let us know that they're working these side jobs?
Well, or? These officers would not be working side jobs. I mean, this is their priority, obviously. And so they would not be working that above and beyond. I mean, there are stipulations when they work side jobs. They can't do over X amount of hours in a given week and those kind of things. So, I mean, obviously they can't work until 7 in the morning and they come here at 8 and still be able to perform. That wouldn't be an issue, and that would be something that definitely could be discussed and go from there.
Okay. I have a few questions. And they will be going from campus to campus? That's
up to your administration. I mean, what was discussed was placing them in the middle schools, and then they work with the feeders, but what they do is up to you. I mean, they're school resource officers, so they could teach DARE, they could act as patrol. In the lower valley, some of the school districts have talked about them doing more walking around and doing patrol, and that's more important for them there than for them to go do presentations in the classroom and talking about DARE and substance abuse.
And how long is it going to take before you narrow down the numbers? What our legal counsel is concerned about.
Those numbers are true. You and what's been presented to you are those fixed set numbers.
It's just not
in the contract. I think that's what is concerned. If it was presented to us from the county attorney in a draft.
It's not clear, correct?
Right. Well, that information wasn't available, and if I understand correctly, they provided you with the exact cost and what your share would be. They've given you the cost as in terms of the program as a whole, and then what your one-third share would be on an annual basis with a total number. And if they're representing to you, those are the numbers and efforts and the cost, I think you have sufficient information to determine whether you want to approve this or not.
Okay, so
but
right now you have concerns about this.
Well,
that was before.
I don't anymore.
You don't anymore?
Because you presented the information. The only thing I would ask is that if you choose to approve, you could approve it based on the information you've been provided, subject to review of the final agreement by council.
And ultimately what this award would be is $250,000 from the federal government to the county, which would be giving to your district for the two officers for the 3 years, and your match would be $141,000, the one-third portion of that, for the 3 years.
Over 3 years?
Over 3 years, over half a semester, two full, 3 years.
That's why I was confused.
It's pretty cheap.
And like I said, it's broken down based on different school districts decided to have a different number of officers, and so we kind of said the more officers you take, the better the price is, because it helps us out. And so one district chose one officer, another district chose three, and so there's just 10 in total, and so you guys have one-fifth of the whole project, and that comes out to 250.
Will your officers be able to give like citations or take care of situations where you would help the principal expedite a certain situation on a campus where they would need to take care of?
Well, they're clearly not your security guard. They're not there to provide the little security. I mean, if it's a major incident, then absolutely. If a kid has drugs, that's a criminal offense. But they're not there to take care of that kid that keeps ditching every day, and that kid just doesn't show up, and that kind of thing.
If they were breaking the law, then they have the ability to
search. They're breaking the law. Yeah. But I mean, they're not there to chase down all your truant kids that just don't go to the class and ditch.
Like fighting.
If they're breaking the law, then absolutely. Yes.
That's what I said.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions? And I guess, Renee, you had just gotten the contract, right, without the price points?
That is correct. We had no problem with the form of the agreement. It was acceptable. The only thing that was missing is the information which they presented this evening.
Okay. And Ms. Gonzalez?
This is a question for administration. I know that we discussed this in a policy and instruction committee meeting. Would you please tell Dr. Galavis, the rest of the members, where this money is coming from? Because we don't...
Yeah. Martha, the finance. Because one of the, in Ms. Gonzalez's question is, did you plan for it? no, we didn't plan for it this year because we didn't know they were going to apply or if the sheriff was going to get the grant. So we were brought this at cabinet, and we came to this conclusion on where we're going to get the $23,000 for this year.
Through the discussion of the excess revenues over expenditures, if you recall, we allocated $220,000 for the auditorium lighting and sound system upgrades. We've been working. We have quotes that we'll be bringing forward to the board for approval or consideration. Right now, the total for the auditorium needs is about $100,000. So what I commented in cabinet was, if the board approved this agreement, then we would take some of the money remaining from the $220,000 and cover it because it's not part of the original budget.
Or unless there were savings, we could also look at towards the end of the year, right?
Right, but at because this time, we need to have a
set aside the budget
a certain dollar amount by January. That would be the initial project or proposal.
Okay.
And we apologize on the timing thing, but this was a fiscal year with the government, and they awarded in October their fiscal year, and because they shut down, we didn't even know this until mid-October. So now here we are.
No problem.
Later, trying to scramble it together.
Let me see, Miss Searles, real quick.
Is there any possibility? I'm thinking of money and security. We had $220,000 for cameras. Can we not use that?
$200,000 for cameras. That's out of bond money.
Yeah, I don't think we can use that.
It can't be a person. It has to be a thing.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have another question. Right. And you mentioned other schools. What other schools have already made an agreement with you all?
Tornillo, Clint, and San Lazaro. The one that we're waiting on is Favens, and they have their board meeting tomorrow. So tentatively, just like you all did last week, they approved it, and now it's their final board tomorrow.
Okay.
And how many did each one?
Clint has three. Tornillo has one. Favens has two. San Lazaro has two. So it came out to 10. And I know one of the concerns that was emailed here, and Dr. Galavis and I talked about it. If an officer gets sick for one day, just like anyone else, we may or may not be able to quickly replace that officer for a day. If an officer breaks a leg and is out for 3 weeks, then obviously we're going to provide a replacement. And that's something we can do through our community resource section. So if it's an extended leave, a woman gets pregnant, they're out on FMLA, something like that, we're going to provide that coverage. There's no doubt. And that clearly states that. But if it's that morning they get sick and they can't be there, it's just like a substitute teacher and you're dealing with a last minute thing. And so we'll try our best. That's all we can say at this point. But if it's something extended, absolutely, we're going to make sure there's coverage. And that was definitely one of your concerns.
And I also have a concern about the amount of the overtime. We probably have to be very careful.
It's up to our administration.
Yeah. Because it wouldn't be efficient for us to pay a lot for overtime on security.
Well, the overtime is a whole separate thing that you just negotiate above and separate from this grant. I mean, all this grant covers is the 40-hour week.
So I know we have an SRO officer right now. And overtime, if I'm not mistaken, overtime is paid by the department itself, not by the district, correct?
That's correct.
So we can keep that officer for games or whatever, correct?
For the games, Anthony police officer is paid on an individual contractor for the games, but any overtime over 40 hours that they can report or something like that is picked up by Anthony.
Yeah, you see that is a concern of mine, so that.
And the flexing the schedule thing is what they're used to. I mean, the people, officers are going to be very excited to come and do this because they're going to have a more set schedule than a schedule that every month rotates. And that's what officers do right now. 1 month they're working nights, 1 month they're working days, 1 month they're working
evenings. But with flex schedules, also it would contradict having somebody here during the day. We would need somebody here during the day.
No, they're going from a flex schedule, and they're enticed to actually go
to apply, and you're going to get the best officers to come and do that. And when I say flex it, I mean, it's not something every day. And so, like, just say there's a special event, and instead of that officer coming in at 8, you want the officer to come in at 9, that's your option that you can work out with that officer. I mean, the 40 hours covers the 40 hours, whatever they are. Above and beyond that 40 hours, if you want to contract with them to do overtime for some whatever reason, then that's a whole separate thing aside from the grant.
Just one thing I ask, if the contract gets approved, that we get individuals that are sensitive to our students' needs and at the same time understand them, whether it's, you know, ex-graduates or, you know, somebody that knows our kids and could work with them, so that way they're more committed to making sure that they do the optimal.
The chief talked about that last week when we presented. I mean, there's different mentalities in officers, and that's kind of what he talked about. You probably don't want a SWAT officer in here being SRO, because their idea is to shoot and kill versus someone with a degree or social work background, and theirs is going to be more like conflict resolution. I mean, this kind of thing is definitely, I mean, in a sexist way, geared towards female officers, because they're good at being compassionate yet forceful officers, and we have some that really would love to do that. And there's some men that would do that very well as well. But you don't want the shoot and kill officers either. And so,
get down. No.
Saying men don't have feelings.
Not all.
Feelings.
So they are. It's an interview panel, and it's a selection process. And so all that's in the works. And so we got to make sure we have the commitments, and that's beginning as well.
Okay.
And I've seen that process. They're starting that, and they're requiring so much years of experience. Obviously, this officer has to have it. Can't be somebody that's right out in the field. And so there's a lot of things we're looking
at. Adrian, and then Sid.
And I guess this question is not really directed at you. You've done a great job presenting this. Thank God we were able to get the cops back in the SRO program. The question is really to administration. These two officers, which we've been proposed, your expectation is to use them in the middle schools. Is that still correct?
Well, we already have one at the high school, and if from the middle school and the branch off to the feeders. And since they do have patrol cars, they can, like the officer was saying, is that they can go and do programs, go and talk. Because the SRO was really about community policing, just eradicate that negative connotation way back when officers were shoot and kill, when officers would just arrest, and hence Sergio made a lot of money back then. So this was more about building community, building confidence within police officers. So when kids see police officers, they see them as part of the community, part as an adult.
Is Mr. Tavares still out there?
And some of the things SRO officers do would think like teen court, the DARE program, conflict resolution, those kind of programs within the schools. I mean, a real important one, and we've really emphasized in years past when we've had it, was to work with the boosters. I mean, you need to build a relationship with parents, and that's where your boosters are. That's in the different schools have those parent-teach orientations. That's what's really important. So.
Officer Tavares was our SRO when I was there.
He was great.
Yeah, for years.
I never knew the SRO.
Yeah.
You were that first name basis there?
No, everybody knew him.
Yeah.
Wow. Was it community policing? Mr. Cornell?
I think this is a great opportunity, and on that basis, I will move that the board approve the interlocal agreement as proposed, with the amounts that have been presented to the board that we can append and have council and administration review, subject to that inclusion in the interlocal agreement, I move that we approve this.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Hearing no discussion. Carlos, can you pull the board?
You with the same
time. Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Rollins, thank you.
Thank you. That'll take us to the next item.
Huh? You don't want to take them?
It's on the consent agenda. It doesn't have to be.
Item 6. The organization of board, nomination, selection of officers.
Okay. Nat, this time I'll take any nominations for president.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Mendoza.
I would like for us to recognize your leadership.
You were an amazing board president, sir. This district is indebted to you. You sailed this ship through some dark and treacherous times. And I personally want to thank you for stepping up to the plate and seeing the district through that time. With that said, sir, I would like to nominate Ms. Rachel Quintana for board president. And I would like for the record to reflect that Ms. Quintana not only has been a loyal employee of this school district, but this is her second term as a board member on this board. She has served tirelessly to the community and to the school district, and therefore I humbly submit her name for board president.
Okay.
I'd like to second that.
It doesn't need a second on the nomination, but if there's any other nominations, I'll take the nomination. And if not, then I'll close. I'll ask to cease nominations, and then I'll need a second on that.
I move to close nominations.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to cease nominations as president. And Ms. Quintana, can we please pull the board?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
I'll abstain.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Do you want me to finish?
No, I'll stay here. I don't mind staying here. If you don't mind, I would like to stay here.
I wanted to sit next to Patsy, actually.
Please, thank you.
But
thank you, everybody. Thank you.
That's right.
Hey, no, you voted on the close of nominations. You didn't vote on it though.
To cease nomination?
Yeah.
For, as president?
Yeah.
Just say so. By acclamation.
By what was that?
By acclamation, Ms. Rachel Quintana is
the
board.
Oh, by acclamation of the board, Ms. Quintana is now board president. So.
All right.
Thank you. I just want to thank my fellow board members. You're my family. You've been my family for many years now, even before. Okay. And I know we all have the same goal, to make this district the best in Texas and the best in the United States, the best in the world. And we're working at it, and we will get there with our unity and our respect for each other.
Finish it out?
Do you want?
You get to finish it out.
Do you want me to? Actually, it's either or. Do you want me to finish the nominations for vice president? Secretary. Okay, at this time I'll take nominations for Vice President.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would like to nominate Leticia Gonzalez. Boy, I was going to give her a new name. I've been hanging around with Tony Blaze.
It would have been Leticia Medina.
Or Mendoza. I would like to nominate Leti Gonzalez as Vice President.
Okay, I have a nomination. Is there any other nominations? During nominations, I'll ask if we could have a motion to cease the nominations for Vice President.
So
moved.
Yeah.
So moved.
I have a second. Do I have a second? Okay. Can we vote to cease nominations? We didn't
cease it. Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
This is just to cease nominations.
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Okay, at this time, can we vote on Ms. Leticia Gonzalez as Vice President?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No, I'll abstain.
Mrs. Medina?
Mr.
Medina. Poor little child.
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza.
Don't hold that against the chair.
Mrs. Quintana.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mrs. Sarver.
Yes.
Okay, and at this time I'll take nominations for secretary.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Cornell.
I at this time nominate Patsy Mendoza for secretary of the board.
Is there any other nominations? No? Hearing no other nominations, I'll ask if we could have a motion to seize nominations for secretary.
So moved.
And can I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to seize nominations for secretary.
Mr. Cornado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
This is to cease nomination?
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And that will take us to vote for Ms. Patsy Mendoza as secretary.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes. Abstain.
Go ahead and vote yes, Patsy.
Yes.
He's okay.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Thank you.
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Congratulations. It's all yours now.
No, I'll speak to you.
No, no, no. The following the agenda. Okay.
Carlos, will you take us to our next agenda?
Item B, appointment of board members to special board committees.
I would like to make the recommendation for the special board committees for the next meeting. Is that okay?
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Time. Take your time.
So that we can.
Yeah.
Our next agenda item, sir. We don't need to vote on that if we're going to.
So we could table it, or we could just, if we're okay, if the board's okay with it, then.
Item C, Policy Instruction Personnel Student Services Committee Meeting Report, November 11, 2013. Mrs. Gonzalez.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
A quick report.
Quick report. Thank you. I'll remind you. That's a really good memory. Okay, my committee meeting was on November 11th, and our agenda items was discussion and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the El Paso County Sheriff's Department SRO presentation tonight. Second agenda item, discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the special education report. Third one, discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the highly qualified report. Fourth one, discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the purchase of Cengage web-based applications curriculum and instruction. E, discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding an athletic co-op program. F, discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the job description being recommended tonight to the full board. Discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the reorganization of the technology department. H, discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding DNA local policies and appraisers. I, discussion and possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding CASB localized policy update. Any questions? The minutes are here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Do we have a motion to approve the?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Mr. Rodriguez,
Item D, Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee Meeting Report, November 13th. Mr. Coronado.
Madam Chair, board members, we've had a meeting of the Facilities and Finance, et cetera, committee on November 13th. We had a really great presentation by Bill Childress Elementary School with regard to their safety patrol presentation on that night. Jordan Sanchez gave a short speech about, you know, what it means to him, what his participation in that program is, and they outlined, you know, the duties of the safety patrol, and obviously it's an exemplary program in the district.
Great program.
And Ms. Bueno presented that, and so I know some of members on the board were ex-safety patrols like myself and
still have mine.
Rachel. So
I was
very much in support of that program. Then we went on to the roundtable discussion on the bond project report discussion. A lot of the bids that are going to be coming in on the items at CES, DVE, will be coming shortly next month, and we'll obviously sift through those and see what where we're at in those projects. The one that I was more anxious to find out is on the pre-K through 8, and there was a request by administration to put an agenda item to postpone indefinitely some of those items that we're not going to be able to get to with respect to the bond programs that are going to be obviously taken up by the overrun of some of the major projects. And that's on our agenda item for tonight. We did not have any formal recommendation from CBAC. There was a presentation by Johnson Controls on the district-wide projects, and also a presentation on how our administration, with respect to the what is the Medisys program, that we'll be able to look at all our HVAC units. That was very impressive. It was really impressive on how we're going to be able to see the history of each one of our areas and each one of those HVAC units and how they've been operating and at what temperatures and what efficiency ratings. I mean, it is really incredible. What
the loads, especially.
The loads. And so I'm really happy that that the board, you know, had fortitude to go through with this district-wide project on our HVAC. It's really, really going to, I think, decrease our energy usage and really optimize our energy usage in the entire district. So, there was also a report on the hazardous and non-reportable transportation routes. That is on our agenda item for tonight. We actually went through some of the proposed cuts of some of the routes, and the committee members decided to leave it up to the entire board.
Yes.
To make a decision on each one of those routes. One or two of them are probably easy to do. Is it worth the risk of having some people over the cost? I don't know. That's something that the board needs to really, the full board needs to weigh out tonight. We also had a report from the Upper Rio Grande Workforce Development on usage of our facilities. And that's been recommended to the board. We also had the presentation of the audit, the TEA visit summary, the TEA investigation, and the newcomer cap update by Mr. Rodriguez. And just as a comment to the rest of the board, when TEA came in, that our administration asked about any other, I guess, sources to improve what we were doing. That the comment was made by TEA that we're probably one of the districts doing the best job in the state with respect to how that's being handled. So great kudos to our administration and our audit team about what's been going on with the audit. So we were presented with a hotline update. Finance, the dire investment of our return right now, and the budget was presented, it's not even a 1%, I believe. Is that correct, Marshall?
That's correct.
So, anyways, the warrant list was also presented. There's items 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on E for purchasing that were all recommended to the board for approval, and they're on tonight's agenda item. So we had no community input. That concluded our meeting, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Comments?
Item 7, consent agenda. Administration recommends approval as presented.
Madam Chair, I would like to just point out two things.
Yes, ma'am.
Under acceptance of donations, I am just floored. $7,608 of donations. That's amazing.
That's great.
It's wonderful, guys.
It's like you were reading my mind.
And the second thing I want to tell you guys, and I'm so excited, is the mariachi uniforms for Northwest. I am so excited about that. And that's all I wanted to point out.
Thank you.
Are they going to be at the Christmas, or when is it that they're here? The New Year's?
Maybe we'll get to see them first.
Oh, cool. Do they have pictures of those uniforms?
And the uniform is just for the students, or?
Yeah.
I'd like to pull item E and M.
Anybody else want to pull an item?
No, but I wanted to ask a question under what Mrs. Mendoza brought up, the donations. I know that we as a board had asked that we begin to recognize that a little more specifically. Dr. Galavis, has that happened?
Yes, we have. Didn't we have the thank you cards as examples that we were going to send out?
Madam Chair, if they answer this question, we can put E back in there. That's kind of my question was,
yeah, they were,
what have they been doing?
Okay. They did. I got an update.
Where's that folder?
I'm not sure where that is, but we all recognize them officially, or where we have a special section for donations. So we list every donation that comes into the school district and is approved by the board, goes into a special section that's in order to have donations in the website.
Well, Annette had gotten some little cards, and so we're supposed to get those same cards that are supposed to say thank you, and then the board's signatures are supposed to be on there from the board.
And I know Jerry's working on those as well.
Mr. Coronado.
Madam Chair, just a couple that I want to point out on the donations from the Knights of Columbus, that they donated 30 coats for the kids and planting networks, 30 turkeys for Thanksgiving basket for the students and their families. That's right. And I know there was also a Coach Cooper was also collecting donations for district-wide to also hand out apart from that. So we have a really good effort this year from the school district and the local community to go out to the those families that are in need during this time. And we really appreciate that.
We currently have various ongoing contributions and can drives and clothing drives at various campuses. I've been approving those campus activities. And we received quite a few donations of additional monetary donations that will be presented to you in December. So they're just flowing in.
Great.
Good job. I also have an idea as to how we can sort of just recognize on our website, on the news channels, they have those ribbons that run through the screen, the bottom.
Tickers.
Where it could be continuously running through our website and it'll be moving.
Thank you for the donations, Mr. and Mrs.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
All the people involved, and that'll, you don't have to look for the section, but it's there.
It's up in front, mm-hmm. Yeah. Some sort of ticker.
I think that would be
alert.
Mm-hmm. because anybody that gets on it will see that all these people are donating all these things to. That's just an idea.
Madam Chair, they answered the question. I don't need to pull E after all. Just M.
So just M.
Just
anybody
M.
Else want to pull any items?
Tell me ahead of time.
Do I have a motion to
tell me ahead of time.
Approve the consent agenda except for M?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
We have a
motion and a second.
A motion and a second. Now, Mr. Oliveira, can you pull the board?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
That's why I had to go to college. Oh, yes. Item M. Memorandum of Understanding with Upper Rio Grande Workforce Development. Yes. I know that the contract, has our attorney actually looked at, or has our legal counsel looked at the contract?
Yes, sir. We initially started off with a memorandum of understanding. We brought our attorney in to look at the memorandum of understanding. We've gone back and forth with the supporters and the workforce, come to an agreement. We've finalized a memorandum of understanding with our attorney, and our attorney is also included. In addition, the license agreement, which is an additional contract. So, yes, sir, it has been reviewed.
They've given their stamp and no concerns?
Yes, sir, exactly. We've come to an agreement with both legal counsels on both ends, ours and theirs.
That was it? Because I know last time there were several versions floating around, so I just want to make sure that legals look at the final one and that we're good to go.
Yes, sir.
All right. With that, move to accept the Memorandum of Understanding with Upper Rio Grande Workforce Development.
I'll second that.
Do we have any other questions? Do we have a motion to approve?
And a second.
Yeah, a motion and a second.
Okay. Will you hold the board, Mr.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mr.
Antonetto? I couldn't get it.
This brings us to executive session.
It is 7.
The time is now 7:24 p.m. and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Sections 551.071 and 551.074.
Mrs. Searles?
9B and 9C are neither.
We did 9C, right?
9C. Done.
We did 9C.
We did
9B.
9B, then. That's the only
one. 9B is the only one, yes.
What about 9D?
Do we want to discuss that before?
Do before we go to the exec? Right
yeah.
I like one of those.
I would like to move that up. And
Mr.
Before
Brooks,
we go?
Is that okay?
Mr. Brooks is here.
Yeah,
he's here. Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that okay? If that's okay.
Yeah, that's
heck yeah.
So 9B?
9B, yes.
9B.
Hazardous.
Possible action regarding non-reportable transportation route areas for 2013-14 school year. Mr. Brooks.
Good evening. It was just like last week we talked.
Yes. last week we discussed some routes that are considered hazardous, but they're within 2 miles of the school. But looking at them last week, that there were some discrepancies in walking along Donovan and rodeos and stuff like that. So we won't need to hold a public hearing or anything like that for these routes, so they will stay hazardous. The only concern I think you all wanted to bring up was the one in the Gaslight area.
Route 402A?
Yes.
It's the last
one on
it is page 224 in your books.
24?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I would move to leave our hazardous routes all as they stand.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions, discussion?
Is there any potential liability to the district if these are issues that come up that wouldn't be?
No.
No?
No, sir.
Very.
All right. One last question through the chair. What's the definition of hazardous, crossing over a high traffic area? What's the actual definition of a hazardous?
Considered hazardous is railroad tracks, if the students had to walk over railroad tracks.
Okay.
Along the interstate or across the interstate.
Okay.
That is considered hazardous. And no walkway.
No walkways.
I have Mr. Brooks, I wasn't at, I apologize, I wasn't at your presentation. I didn't come to that meeting. I really was under the impression that we picked up pre-K babies at their door, pretty close to the door.
They're considered regular students. So the parents are responsible from bus stop to home to bus stop, and we do not let pre-K students off the bus unless the parent is present. If the parent is not present, then we call the school. A bus driver calls dispatch. We contact the school, and we let the school know that we're taking the child back to the school, name and everything. So if the parent calls, they know that the child is at school. We don't let pre-K students off the bus unless the parent is present.
I think that's good standard. Right. Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. Will you please pull the board, Mr. Rothfield?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
That takes us to the next agenda item, Mr.
Rodriguez.
This takes us into closed session, and it is 7:30. Can you please read the...
The time is now 7:30 p.m., and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Sections 551.071 and 551.074.
Miss Medina, we're going to talk later, Carlos. I feel like Rodney Dangerfield up here. We get no respect. It's okay. She gets Ms. Mendoza and Ms. Medina.